not here for any glory of my own, but I'm here to glorify you, to glorify you. And so, Father, we thank you for that, and we'll forever give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. Hallelujah. Now, you have it?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to read one verse from this 8th chapter, one verse from this 8th chapter, and that's verse 36. Jesus is speaking here. He had been teaching, of course, and I won't go into any of the other right now, but in verse 36, John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you shall be what?
Free.
You shall be free indeed. Read it again. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. And here's some things that we need to keep in the center of our hearts, thinking on these things all the time. Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Now, I want to let you know something. The Son of God has made me free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made me free. And so we must realize this. We must keep this at the forefront of our hearts, our minds, that Jesus, the Son of God, has made us free or set us free. So if you're free, then you must be determined to walk in the freedom that he purchased for you. We must be determined to walk and live in the freedom that Jesus purchased for each and every one of us. I must walk in the freedom that he purchased for me. He hung on that cross so that I could be free. He was whipped so I could be free. By his stripes, I was healed. Say that again. By his stripes, I was healed. Why don't you say that?
By his stripes, I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Hey, that's the word of God, folks. Amen. By his shed blood, I've been made free. Like they sang, I believe it was Sunday this past, I am no longer a slave to sin.
Amen.
I'm no longer a slave to sin. We are told not to let sin rule and dominate our lives. Well, if we're told to do that, read Romans chapter 6. If we're told to do that, that means then we can do something about it. We have been given the authority to do something about it. Amen. whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we must know who we are in Christ and what he has purchased for us. Hallelujah. We're not little weaklings. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of each and every believer. Thus, listen at this, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Say that with me. The same Jesus, The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of me. Amen. Say it again. Hallelujah. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to, let me see where I want to go, James, book of James. The first chapter. Glory be to God. Now, in James chapter 1, I'll just begin right now at verse 25. I'll later on at some point, I'll go back and read some other verses. But right now, I just want to read this verse. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Read it to you again. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Hallelujah. And that's my subject tonight, the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. Now, we read where Jesus said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Hallelujah. And James says we look into the perfect law of liberty. Liberty, folks, means freedom. 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 We learn through the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God that Jesus came down from heaven. Learn this through the Word, by way of the Word of God, that Jesus came down from heaven, born of a virgin, became a man, And by the way, he was born the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. As a child, he was raised up, he became a man, and he was a man without sin. Amen. Man without sin. But he came to take our sins upon himself. He had no sins of his own, but he took our sins. All of our dirt, all of our mess, all of that has been laid on Jesus. He took it all. He took it all. But he had no sin of his own. And the Word of God tells us that he went to the cross. Shedded his blood. He died on that cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But he rose again on the third day. He went into the tomb carrying our sins. He rose sin free. See, that's shouting ground right there. Hallelujah. He rose again sin free. And he took care of the sin problem. And now all we have to do is believe on him. Receive him as our Lord and Savior. Make him Lord of our lives. And we can walk and live in victory over sin. But it doesn't happen just like that. And what I mean by that is, we have to live, we must live in the Word of God daily. You understand what I'm saying? If we're gonna walk in victory over the issues in this life, then we're gonna have to keep our eyes in God's Word. Hallelujah. Because His Word tells us who we are. His Word tells us what he has made us to be. So you see here in verse 25 of James, it said, one of the first thing it says is that, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Notice that. He says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. You can lay your Bible up on the shelf somewhere and let it collect dust, never go to church, never hear the Word of God. You can do that. God will let you do it, but it's going to cost you. Can I make a statement? Ignorance is expensive. It'll cost you. What you don't know will cost you. There are two ways to mess up: intentionally and simply because you just don't know any better. That's the reason we have the Word of God, so that we can know better, so that we can learn and do. So we're told to take a look into the perfect law of liberty. In other words, you need to know and understand what God has delivered you from. Can I say that again? We must know and understand what God has delivered us from. We got to know who we are. So we need to look. This word right here will set you free. You can walk in freedom. You can walk in authority. You can walk in victory. If you get it in here. It'll change your life. You know, all of us have challenges in life. You know, as long as you're in the earth, you know, you're going to have to deal with something. But it's what you know that makes you go. It's what you know that keeps you victorious. Not a wise thing to go out and face the enemy without your weapon. You hear me? Because the Word of God tells us that Satan walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if he's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, that tells me that there's some he may not devour. You hear me? Amen. And that's a decision that you and I have to make. We have to make a decision. Yeah, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And Jesus already prayed for me. Father, keep them from the evil or the evil one. And how is he going to do that? When we walk and live in his word. When we walk and live in his word. When we stand on his word. Looking into the perfect law of liberty. Open that Bible. Or as you are doing right now, sitting in church, and you are hearing the word of God that's going to keep you free. No, the devil's not in the pit yet. But we have a weapon. Hallelujah. We have the sword of the Spirit. Glory to God. Two-edged sword. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You know, I love the book of Psalms, but Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. Yeah, it is. 176 verses. 176 verses. And I'd love to right tonight to go through every one of them, but I'm not going to do that. But one of the verses is 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That whole, by the way, that 119th psalm, it's all about the word of God. It's all about the word of God. So that tells me that the word of God is important in our lives. Turn Psalm 119:105 on the screen for me, please. Hallelujah. Psalm 119:105. Glory to God. See, the writer understood something. And we have to understand the same thing. Your word, Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is going to keep me out of a lot of trouble. It's going to keep me away from a lot of hurts. Your word will help me not to make mistakes. That could be very, very costly to me. But your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. I am to walk according to your word. Is there an amen out here somewhere? Amen. I am to walk according to his word. I am to look into the perfect law of liberty that's keeping me free from bondage. Hallelujah. Give me verse 11. Psalm 119:11. I'm just picking out two or three. Yeah, there you go. Listen at this. Your word have I hidden where? Where? Hallelujah. Not just in your head, you get it down in your heart. Your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. That I might not do dumb things, crazy things. How do I know? Because I've been looking into the perfect law of liberty. Hallelujah. You still here? You want to do one more from Psalm 119? I like this one. Psalm 119:172. Put that up there, please. 119:172. My tongue, say my tongue.
My tongue.
It's good to hear your brothers and sisters testify and talk about the word of God. That's good and that's a blessing. But it can't compare to you testifying of goodness of God's word. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments or what?
Righteousness.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I want to encourage you to just start from verse 1 of Psalm 119 and read the entire chapter, all 176 verses of it. It'll bless you. It's all about the word of God. In some places it'll say thy law, but it's still talking about the word of God. Still talking about the word of God. Amen. Looking into the perfect law of liberty. Now, here's the thing. Back in James chapter 1, verse 25, he talked about looking into the perfect law of liberty, but that verse said something else. James 1:25. Go ahead and put it on the screen for me. James 1:25. Hallelujah. James 1:25. Glory to God. All righty. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continues in it. Now we're going to stop right there for a moment. And continue. So just looking is not enough. Just looking is not enough. We must look into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, what he has said, and then we are to continue in it. That becomes a part of our life. That's the way we live. You know, it's easy. You know, the human makeup is, wow. And it's something else. We, you know, we're awesome. But we have the ability to change. What I mean by that, we have the ability to change to suit or become part of whatever environment we are in. When I'm at church, I'm the best Christian you ever seen. I'm just talking about some folk. I'm not talking about me personally. Because I know how to be a Christian. I know how to say praise the Lord. I know how to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I even speak in tongues. But then, when you leave the church environment and you're into a whole different environment, you have the ability to change and become just like those folks. And that's what gets many of us in trouble. We have to continue in the Word of God no matter where we are, no matter who we are with. When I was in the workforce, I've been around a lot of different characters, man. I've been around the cursing crowd. Swearing crowd. But I made a decision. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to be a part of that. Because I know who I am in Christ. Now, that won't necessarily make you popular. Sometimes you can become the blunt of some jokes. I remember my wife telling me this dear lady that loved God. Matter of fact, she's with the Lord now. she loved God, and I mean, she lived for God, whatever environment she was in, whoever she was around, she lived for God. And so they decided to call her God's wife. And that was not meant as a compliment either. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Call her God's wife. They were making fun of her, but she stood her ground. She was a lady of God, and she loved God. And just because on her job she was around a bunch of sinners and a bunch of silly people, didn't matter with her. She was still going to live for Jesus. Amen. On some jobs I had, I had opportunities to go party with the guys after work, eat steaks, get drunk. And Kathy and I couldn't even afford a steak. And I was, since I was one of the employees, I was invited to come to the party also. And I said, and I wanted a steak so bad. What was the other thing they had the other time? Steak and prime rib. Prime rib, yeah. Man, I mean, they were eating good, man. But I knew what kind of atmosphere it was going to be. And we were struggling. But I made a decision. Oh, and by the way, they say, come on, bring your wife. And, you know. And I know what some folks will say, oh, man, you should have went on. No, I made a decision. I'm not going. But how many of you know God is good? Can I tell you something? If you make a stand for God and don't be willing to compromise. See, that's the problem we have sometimes. You succumb to the pressure to compromise. So while they went down to this little place and they partied and got drunk and cursed and ate prime rib and ribeyes or whatever it was, they were eating and having a good time. And I made a decision, I'm going home to be with my wife and my, two children I think we had at that time. But you know what God did? My supervisor walked up to me and I told him, I says, you know, they knew I was born again. They knew I was saved. I wasn't going to hide it. But he walked up to me. He says, listen, I tell you what, I know you're not coming. I know you're not going to eat with us. But will you please do one thing? I want you to do this. And I asked him, I said, what's that? He said, all I'm asking you to do is just stop by and let us hand you a plate and you can leave. Well, I can do that. I can do that. And so we ate as good as they did. We just ate ours at the house. I think my wife fell in love with prime rib and she's been loving it ever since. God just opened the door. I took a stand. I didn't want to be in amongst the drunks and hearing all the swearing and all that stuff. I didn't want to hear that stuff. I'd rather go home and eat grits or whatever it was we had rather than to be in that environment because I had made a decision that I was going to continue in the law of liberty. I was going to continue in the word of God. I was not just going to do it when it was convenient. Sometimes you have to sacrifice some things. But God will reward you for your faithfulness. He'll reward you for your faithfulness. Amen. So we got to eat and look in each other's eyes and both of us were sober. We knew what the steak tastes like. And I'm going to tell you something. Folks will pick at you a while. They'll talk about you a while. But some of the very ones that's talking about you respect you. You know why? Because when things get tough, they'll come to you, let me use it, by night or privately. And they'll say, listen, bro, I need you to talk to me. I need to talk to you, man. I need some prayer. I need some prayer, man. Now, this is the same guy that's been laughing at you yesterday and talking junk, but now he's got some issues. He got some problems, and he didn't go to his buddies. They come to the one that they know is for real. You listen, brothers and sisters, we gotta look into the law of liberty, and we gotta continue in it. No wonder Jesus told us, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And when those that are, and I've had that happen. I remember, and I'm gonna close this out because I'm not gonna get finished, but we'll revisit this. Kathy, remember, when I was in service, we were still newlyweds. We got married in August. That following December, I had shared with y'all, when I talk about visions, I'm not trying to sound super spiritual. Y'all understand that, right? I'm just telling you what happened, okay? But I had had this vision, and I've told y'all all about it. And, you know, and I had the vision of the people crying and screaming and falling into hell. And, you know, and the next week, a week after that, I had talked to my friend, Bishop Roger Thomas. I call him Brother Tom, but we were in, sir, he's been here. He and his wife surprised us one Sunday morning. And by the way, brother, if you're listening, I love you, and I love Marie. We thank God for you. But I said listening, watching. But I had had that vision, and I shared some of it with him. And this was getting close to Christmas. It's getting close to Christmas. So they came over to our house, and we decided we was going to go throughout the neighborhood and just witness and share Jesus with the folks. And we found this trailer, a mobile home, at the end of the street there. I think it was either at the end of the street or at the bend of the street there. And they was having a Christmas party. You hear me? I mean, them guys was having a Christmas party. And so we went in, and they invited us to come in. We went in, a trailer full of guys, because there wasn't no ladies there. The only two ladies was our wives, and so we told them that we wanted to share Jesus with them, and so they were respectful, and they let us share Jesus. And I remember Brother Roger, I was expecting him to speak to the guys, but he said, "Go ahead, Jim, tell them about Jesus." That's what they call me, Jim. "Go ahead, Jim, tell them about Jesus." So I did, I don't remember exactly what I shared, but I shared some things, and we had a couple of guys get saved. I had a couple of guys get saved, but there's one crazy guy in there. I mean, he was talking. I guess he was high. I guess I don't know what all he was on. Now you have to understand, this was back in 1973, so I don't know what he was on, but he was talking about horses and just interrupting me, and you know, I mean, I'm looking over at this guy, and I think, man, I want this guy to flip. Man, we got our wives in here, and you know, and while I'm talking, I'm trying to think, how am I going to protect my wife if this guy go crazy on us, you know? And he was talking all kind of crazy talk, foolish talk, and you know, I think he called God a horse or something. I don't know. It was just a bunch of crazy stuff, you know. And I finally, one of the guys said, man, be quiet. He did quiet down a little bit, but he gave us a mean look, man. I mean, you just didn't know what this guy was going to do next, you know. But through all that, we had two guys come up and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? Now, let me tell you this. This is what I want to tell you. We was having a Saturday night Bible study at Chapel Annex there on the base, and we would have this Bible study every Saturday night. And this very guy that gave us all that trouble, gave me trouble trying to interrupt while I was ministering to the guys. Guess who showed up at the Bible study? And I looked, I looked at him. I said, "Hey, you." He, shh, shh, shh. He stayed the entire time and he listened. Now, he didn't come up that night to get saved, but you know what? God is working when we don't think he's working. God's moving. That's the reason we're told, preach the gospel, tell them about Jesus, and don't be moved by their faces or how they act. But guess what? God moved in that man's life, and I just tell you, I can't prove it, but I believe at some point in time that man got saved. Why did he come to the Bible study? He didn't come to the Bible study to disrupt it. He came there and listened, sat down like he had some sense, and listened at the Word of God being taught. Hallelujah. But you know what? He saw us. He heard us. And we had an impact on his life. That's the reason. We got to be real. And we got to continue in the law of liberty. Y'all listening to me? We got to continue in the Word of God. Listen. It's for our benefit and for the benefit of those that hear us or that we come in contact with. We are living epistles, walking around. You hear me say this many times. The only Jesus some people know is you. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. I'm not saying you are Jesus. None of us are Jesus. But let me say it this way. For some folk, the only Jesus they're going to see, that's a better way of saying it, is in us and how we act, how we conduct ourselves, and how we make a decision. I'm looking into the law of liberty, and I'm going to continue in it for my benefit and the benefit of others. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thought I would get further along than I have, but is that all right? Praise God. If the Lord says the same, we'll come back.